And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you...
What? Good morning. Or whatever time you're listening. Hi, how are you? And welcome back into The Daily Perspective after a Thanksgiving break. It's good to be back. I hope you're doing well. I hope your Thanksgiving went well, that you had some great times with family, friends, loved ones, enjoyed some food, and remembered to truly give thanks. I think I shocked the family because when these get-togethers happen, usually one of the ladies in the family will dictate who says the prayer over the meal, and I got tapped this time, and I thanked God for this country at the end of the prayer. And as sort of as a reminder to everybody, we live in the greatest country on earth. So, but I didn't shock everybody as much as creepy Uncle Joe did talking about his hairy legs. You know, if you wait long enough, the nutcases on the left just reveal exactly who and what they are. you really don't have to make this stuff up. You just have to wait. That's all you have to do. You just have to wait. And if you wait, they will delight you. Oh my gosh. Now, I will have to say this to be fair. Just to be fair to creepy Uncle Joe. Crazy Uncle Joe. Increasingly senile Uncle Joe. That we see in conservative blogging and in conservative news, we will see these excerpts, these outtakes of his talks, his speeches. And for example, you have seen the video and possibly the video, but most likely the photo of him nibbling on his wife's finger. Standing on stage, somewhere outdoors, they're all bundled up, dressed warm, and she is apparently introducing him or has been introduced by him to say something. And what you see is him with his mouth around her fingers. Her right hand is extended off to one side, and he's just kind of chomped down on her fingers. And on the surface, that looks insane. It really looks crazy. And that's what a lot of people on social media are doing with it. They're saying, look at that. He's lost it. He's gone nuts. He's chewing on his wife's fingers on stage. This is crazy. Well, if you watch the video, you see that what happened was that he was standing in one spot and she kept gesturing and she kept getting closer and closer to his face. And he kept kind of leaning back out of the path of destruction. And eventually he got this funny look on his face like, oh, I know what I'll do. And so she swung out and he grabbed her fingers with his mouth. And it was just a moment between a husband and wife on stage. And he was just playing with her. And that to portray that as being something other than it was is unfair. And you know me, I talk about honesty a lot. We need to be honest. Now, when Joe Biden is a leftist idiot, when Joe Biden is a liar, when Joe Biden misrepresents what his party wants, when Joe Biden is being the progressive that he actually is behind closed doors, then we need to talk about it. We need to be honest. He is a bad choice for America, not only because I think he's well past his prime, and no offense. And this is something I'm sensitive to as I get older, and that is discriminating against people because of their age. That's something we shouldn't do. If they have the talent, if they have the ability, if they have the edge necessary to do the job, by all means, put them in the job. But just to discriminate because they're old, that's wrong. I watched this happen to my wife for over a year as she searched for a job. When she would go place after place after place, submitting resumes, and she was eminently qualified, abundantly qualified for the job openings. And she got turned down for younger people again and again and again. And there is legalese in effect that can get you out of that situation. Now, if you're an employer, you just say certain things. One of those things is you're really overqualified for the job and we can't pay you what you're worth. And that's one of the things they will say. So we went with somebody with less experience and the like. And that happens. That's wrong. That's happened to me. This is my situation. Being a radio guy, once you hit a certain age, if you haven't entrenched yourself in a city where you are working in a certain genre for a certain amount of time, and you find yourself between jobs, you're going to be between jobs for quite some time. For quite some time. I'm just telling you. And my situation, in my particular situation, that happened right around retirement age. So I just took advantage of it and said, okay, well, I'm going to just go ahead and retire. I will always leave the door open to do things, but I have things set so I can. So I did. But the discrimination is there, and it's not right. Now, when Joe Biden is an idiot, we should talk about it. But when he's just playing around, he's got a friendly crowd. They're small crowds, but they're friendly. When he's got that going on and he's playing on stage, okay, I'll give him that, because I think I would do exactly the same thing. If I were standing on a stage and my wife were having a little discussion, a little chat, and she got animated, her hands were flinging all over the place, and she almost hit me in the face two or three times, I think I'd chomp on her hand too, just for the laugh. Because you get that when you've done this, you've been on stage, you have audiences, you kind of get a gut feeling for what the laugh is. This is a laugh moment. Go for it. Bing. And you do. And everybody laughs and they're all having a good time. That has happened again and again and again in politics and has been portrayed as something it is not. And the last thing I'm going to do is defend Joe Biden for being a progressive. I'm not doing that. I'm defending Joe Biden for being a guy. Doing a guy thing and being, it was almost a dad joke. It was just a stupid moment. He took advantage of it and everybody laughed. Something Barack Hussein Obama did at one point. He was going for the laugh and it got portrayed as ineptitude and ignorance. When he said, remember when he talked about there being 57 states? Remember when people made a big deal out of that? If you actually watch the video of him at that place, doing that speech, talking to those people, he had been on the campaign trail for him, what seemed like forever. He'd been so many places. And he said something to the effect of, having been in state after state across America, I think they're 57. And he kind of rolls his eyes because he's been everywhere. Okay, it's like the list of states never ends. And it was kind of a gag. It was a joke. It fell flat. And of course, people on the conservative side of social media jumped on that and said, this guy is so unqualified, he doesn't even know how many states there are in the United States, which was bogus. That's not true. He very well knew how many states were there. You don't get to that position in that place and not know what you're doing. Now, you may be incompetent to other degrees, but you've got people around you and you've got these people who are feeding you, which brings me back to Joe Biden. Now, this thing with creepy Uncle Joe doing what he did, let me play that for you again. This is what he says. He's speaking to a friendly crowd. He's got kids all around him on the stage, and this is part of what he said.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun, and the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Now, and I tell you what, given the way that people have talked about Joe Biden in the past, that statement, he was in front of a friendly crowd. You can hear it was also a small crowd. He was in front of a friendly crowd. They're laughing along with him. I got you. I understand what you're talking about. he still says this out loud, knowing that there are television cameras and that there are cell phones with video capability and there are people there taking notes. He says this, and his people have got to be off stage burying their faces in their hands. Oh, dear God, Joe. He forgets the fact that America is watching him and they're looking for someone that they can respect and have confidence in and have trust in if they're going to vote for him to take the highest office in the land. Now, those same people will point at Donald Trump and say he's unqualified, he's unfit, and he shouldn't be there because of the way he speaks and the way he texts and the way he tweets. But Joe Biden does the same thing and nobody will say a word. Nobody. Except you and I, who are raising an eyebrow and taking note and saying, don't think I'd have said that. Because we've seen picture after picture, video after video, of him with his hands on people and children and the like. And somebody's going to take that statement, as they have, and the reason we have it today, they're going to take that statement probably, and I would say obviously, out of context and post it on social media and make something out of it. Joe Biden is a bad enough deal without doing that. So I would encourage you, let's at least be honest about what we share with each other when it comes to talking about the candidates, because there's enough lying going on. There's enough misrepresentation going on. But Joe, I know you're not listening, but I'm going to talk to you anyway, buddy. You need to listen to your handlers. You really do. You're paying people to cover you and to protect you. You should really listen to them. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, we did have a great, I don't have any idea how I got around to back to that, but Thanksgiving was great. We had a wonderful, it was because I was talking about the greatest nation in the land. Yeah, I don't think, but we had a great meal with family. I hope you did too. I actually ordered t-shirts for my wife and myself as a surprise for us to wear when we went to the family gathering. Matching t-shirts. Yeah, I'm that guy. And I did it because they were WKRP first annual turkey drop t-shirts. And they have the station's call letters and the helicopter and the turkeys falling and Les Nessman with the microphone with a little balloon that says, "Oh, the humanity." And it and they're just priceless t-shirts. And I thought, I order these things a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks before Thanksgiving. And with the assurances that speedy delivery was going to happen and that you'll get this in X number of days and that sort of a thing. We're shipping it right now. And then they came yesterday. They came yesterday. I don't know if you're counting, but let's see. Thursday was Thanksgiving. So that would be that's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That would be 3 days after Thanksgiving. My Thanksgiving t-shirts got here. And all I can say is boo. Bad job, people. T-shirt people, bad job. You should have done a better job. But rest assured that next year, Thanksgiving 2020, the t-shirts will be making an appearance. That's all I'm saying about that. Now, I told you also last week that I'd ordered the Creo Brew cacao, roasted cacao beans. And this is just a little, this first segment's just personal stuff, if it's all right with you. We'll get into the serious things, and there are some serious things to talk about. We'll do that after the first break. But I ordered these roasted cacao beans because I kept thinking about how awesome that must be. Because when you roast cacao beans, if you don't roast them, they're terrible. But if you roast them, after you get them roasted and processed, that's what they make. That's what they make chocolate from. It's chocolate. That's what they make chocolate. They're cocoa beans is what they are. And so I kept seeing this ad pop up and I said to myself, self, you should order that. That would be great holiday stuff because you can make little pots of it during the holidays and just sit back and you and Jane can just enjoy it. A hot chocolate drink. And that's what we did. And no, this is not like hot cocoa or hot chocolate. It's very different and it's amazing. It's so good, but you do have to follow the directions very, very closely with measurements exactly like they say. You get it wrong, it's not quite as good. And if you order it, I would order it with the French press if you don't already have one, because that is a great way to make it. The place you get them from is CrioBrew.com. That's CrioBrew.com. And no, I'm not being paid to say this. I bought it myself out of curiosity, and it's fantastic. It's just fantastic. We both love it. And now we're guarding the beans. We're guarding the beans very carefully so they'll last through the holidays, because we want to drink it all the time. Seriously. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective.
It's Christmas at Ground Zero.
Just
There's
a word.
Music in the air.
A note.
The sleigh bells are
if you were thinking about watching the Facebook replay of this, the video podcast later today,
it's Christmas,
don't bother.
At Ground Zero. The button has been
because they're going to nail me for every bit of bumper music from now until Christmas. Especially the pre-show music. If you are a Facebook live listener, viewer, then you know that before the show starts at 8 a.m. Central, there's about 5 minutes, 5 or 6 minutes of pre-show music just to establish the channel and make sure we're there and everything is fine. And usually I play this nondescript, unlicensed, this stuff that I don't have to pay royalty fees for. Just some odds and ends, some instrumental stuff that I've found over the years. And so it gets by without a problem. Right now, in the run-up to Christmas, it's all Christmas stuff. And odds are, Facebook's just going to say, no, you're banned. So I may get in serious trouble. We'll see. We'll see. But hey, Merry Christmas. It is Monday, the second day of December, 2019. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And I hope you are doing well, and I hope you and your loved ones are all doing well, and that Thanksgiving was great, and that you're diving into the Christmas holidays. And I told you we would get to the serious stuff, and so without any further ado, let's get serious. As you recall, President Trump pulled us out of the Iran deal. You'll remember that. And Democrats, liberals, progressives all lost their stuff. I almost said another S word. They all lost their stuff because of it. They went nuts. They went bat bleep crazy, if you'll get my drift. Do you understand? Because how dare you? How could you pull out? How could you? Because it was a bad deal. And he said in his campaign, when he was running for the office, that we have been put into far too many bad deals. And when you're dealing with a nation which funds terrorism, which helps terrorists grow their operations, you should not have anything to do with those people that benefits them in any way, shape, or form. They are murderers. They are the worst kind of people. You should not underwrite their activities. And so we've backed out of the deal. And here's an illustration as to why. This is coming to us from thedailywire.com. A brutal crackdown by the Iranian government has left at least 180 demonstrators dead after they participated in protests that were initially sparked by an unexpected increase in fuel prices. The New York Times is reporting altogether from 80 to 450 people and possibly more were killed in 4 days of intense violence after the gasoline price increase was announced on November 15th, with at least 2,000 wounded and 7,000 detained, according to international rights organizations, opposition groups, and local journalists. The largest single incident of the Islamic Republic allegedly murdering unarmed citizens happened in the city of Mashhad, where Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps members surrounded, shot, and killed between 40 and 100 demonstrators, mostly unarmed young men, in a sugarcane field where they sought refuge. This is according to the New York Times. A local reporter told the Times that in 3 days, approximately 130 protesters were killed by the Iranian government, including those who were massacred in the sugarcane field. Omid Memarian, who is deputy director at the Center for Human Rights in Iran, told the Times, quote, "The recent use of lethal force against people throughout the country is unprecedented, even for the Islamic Republic and its record of violence." The Middle East Media Research Institution, MEMRI, Memory, reported last week that Obulfaz Bahrampour, an Iranian Quran interpreter and translator, was featured on Iranian state television, where he said that the Quran instructs that the protesters be murdered, and it would not be an exaggeration if Iran killed 10,000 protesters. Quote, in the interview, this is coming from memory, in the interview, Bahrampour said that according to the Quran, the punishment for protesters should be slaughtering, which is death in agony or chopping off their hands and feet on alternate sides of their bodies. He continued to say that the punishment must be carried out in public and in the place where the crimes were committed, and they must be crucified as well in order to serve as a deterrent for the people who wait behind the scenes for America's orders. He said that killing 10,000 of the protesters would not be an exaggeration. I want to come back to what he has said here. I'm going to. Just hold on. Memory reported on Friday that Muhammad Javad Haj Ali Akbari, the chief of the Imams of Friday Prayer Policy Council, had called for the harshest punishments possible, the harshest, I should say, punishments possible on Iranian state television for those who engaged in disrupting public security. He wants this televised. Quote, God is very strict with those who cause fitna, disrupt public security, and endanger people's lives, property, and family honor. The punishment for aggressors who wage war against Allah is the harshest of all Islamic punishments. This is what Ali Akbari said, according to a translation provided by memory. It goes on. The expectation is that threat will be turned into an opportunity, and that society will be cleansed of the lowlifes, savages, and criminals. God willing, the divine justice that extends from the sleeve of our law enforcement and legal system will catch them and take quick measures so that this will please the public. Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar. Khamenei is the leader. Death to those who oppose the rule of the jurisprudent. Death to America. Death to England. Death to the hypocrites and infidels. Death to Israel. Those are the words of Muhammad Javad Haj Ali Akbari, the chief of the Imams of Friday Prayer Policy Council. Whew. This is the real Islam. This is the core of the Muslim nations. This is the philosophy, the thought, the worldview of those who are spreading terrorism around the world. Throughout the history of the Islamic State, we'll just call it that for lack of a better term, it has portrayed itself as the warrior, as the victor. And then when it was beaten back by the Crusades and afterwards, it portrayed itself as the victim. And its portrayal of itself as the victim has been picked up by the progressive movement, the progressive news media, the progressive politicians. And they accept this because progressivism loves a good victim. When you have a victim class, you are their champion if you're a progressive. So, Islam, this violent warlord mentality ideology portrays itself as a victim and has since the days of the Crusades. By the way, when your liberal progressive friends point to the Crusades as evil perpetrated by Christians, remind them that the Crusades happened after 400 years of tolerance. And the Crusades happened to rescue innocent people from the bloodthirsty Muslims who were killing, raping, dismembering in their effort to conquer the entire world. Islam portrays itself as a victim, which is why people from nations who are undergirding and underwriting terrorism have been accepted in nations around the world as refugees. And when you watch the video, you see the pictures, you notice that almost all of these people are young men, military-aged men. Not many women and children. And there's a reason for that. And no, it's not paranoia. It's not conspiracy theory. It's reality. Think about what these people have done to their own. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective.
Feliz Navidad.
It's Monday, the second day of December. Okay, we are full on into the Christmas holiday season. And so all the bumper music is Christmas tunes now. Ah, man. We're going to move forward here, but before I do, I want to touch back on the story that we just talked about. And that is the story about Iran killing its own people, protesters, in large numbers. Something you need to remember is that intolerance and violence always rise from the left. And the left is in bed with Islam. It will not condemn it, regardless of what it does. Look for news reports today to see if you can prove me wrong. Please do that. And email me, mark@dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Send me links to these stories if you find them. I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them. Moving forward. London. You may have heard about this. Oh, before I go there. I don't know if you have, if you signed up for the Christmas Perspective yet, but you can. And if you're a podcast listener, that was the extra thing you got yesterday and today, because the Christmas Perspective started yesterday. And what it is a journey through the entire story of Christmas. It starts with the first chapter of Luke and goes all the way through the entire book of Luke from the New Testament. The nativity story is today. That's today's edition. Each day, you'll have a different chapter from Luke that you listen to. They range anywhere from 5 to 9 minutes in length. They're short. You can listen to it by yourself. You can listen to it with loved ones. You can then share it with your friends. And it will walk you all the way through the book of Luke. So by the time you hit Christmas Day, you'll have finished, because there are 24 chapters in the book of Luke. So Christmas Eve, you'll wrap up. You'll start with the Christmas story and end with the resurrection. You'll know the entire life story of Jesus. So Christmas morning, you'll have a different perspective on what the day is all about. Hence, the Christmas Perspective. So if you haven't already, jump on that today. Go to ChristmasPerspective.com and look for the links. There are links there to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, where you can find the Christmas Perspective or the Daily Perspective podcast. You can What else is there? I'm missing something. Oh, yeah, the Facebook group. That's another good way to do it. Just search for The Christmas Perspective on Facebook. There's a Facebook group set up. And that group echoes every day's publication. Every day when the new recording drops, then, Wow, just a moment there. I just went nuts. The day's chapter drops and it goes out to Daily Perspective podcast subscribers, but then it echoes to the Facebook group as well. So you get it there every day as well. I set it up to drop at midnight every night. And so by the time you get up in the morning, odds are it's going to be there waiting on you. That's another way to do it. And then when you listen, you can listen with your friends and share it. And that's a cool thing. And I'm seeing little reports. I'm seeing little my little feedback things are coming back to me. So-and-so shared the Christmas Perspective. So-and-so shared the... And I'm getting a kick out of that. I'm enjoying that a lot. So thank you. If you're listening to the daily chapters and you're sharing them on your social media, thank you. That's why we're doing this. And it's not just me. It's me and you. We're doing this to spread the whole Christmas story. So get on board, listen to the daily chapters, get that perspective on Christmas, and then share it. Share it with your friends. Let them know the entire story. Okay? All right. Go to ChristmasPerspective.com, and you can also go to the Christmas Perspective Facebook group. Just search for it today. Okay? All right. Now, let's go across the big pond to the UK. And a story about some heroes in London who got creative when they were stopping a knife-wielding terrorist from killing more people. The knife attack allegedly began in Fishmongers Hall. That's a historic London building that hosts events and houses numerous historical items. The man who committed the attack, a 28-year-old Pakistani native who, with ties to a jihadi leader, was supposed to speak at an event organized by Cambridge University's Institute of Criminology on criminal rehabilitation. A man identified only as Lucas worked at Fishmongers and was there when the knife attack started. The attacker was allegedly moving towards Lucas and threatening to blow himself up using an explosive device he claimed was strapped to his body. The attacker cut Lucas's hand, according to a witness. Quote, being stabbed didn't stop him from giving him a beating. Lucas is a hero. Lucas and others chased the attacker onto the street. Lucas grabbed a narwhal tusk that was hanging on the wall at Fishmongers Hall, obviously a display item, and he used it against the attacker. And one of his colleagues grabbed a fire extinguisher to do the same. 48-year-old Gary Lawrence told the Times of London what he saw during the attack, saying, about three or four guys came out of that building. One had a stick, another had a fire extinguisher. He was brandishing it at first, then spraying it at the attacker. The guy with the stick was poking him. They approached the knife man at the north end of the bridge, and he stood swiping his knives, one in each hand, around him. That stick he's referring to actually was the narwhal tusk. The police showed up within minutes and ended up shooting the suspect, whose attacks killed two and wounded three others. Photos and videos of the men trying to stop the attacker appeared on social media. You may have seen this. Queen Elizabeth released a statement praising the actions of the men who helped stop the attacks. She said, Prince Philip and I have been saddened to hear of the terror attacks at London Bridge. We send our thoughts, prayers, and deepest sympathies to all those who have lost loved ones and those who have been affected by yesterday's terrible violence. I express my enduring thanks to the police and emergency services, as well as the brave individuals who put their own lives at risk to selflessly help and protect others. According to the New York Post, the suspect had attempted previously to de-radicalize himself while in prison. In 2010, the attacker had plotted to bomb several London landmarks with eight other people. In 2012, he wrote a letter from prison saying he was immature when he joined the group looking to bomb the city, and that he wanted to learn Islam and its teachings through a de-radicalization course. Okay, then. Quote, I'd like to do such a course so I can prove to the authorities, my family, and society in general that I don't carry the views I had before my arrest, and also I can prove that at the time I was immature. And now I am much more mature, and want to live my life as a good Muslim and also a good citizen of Britain. He wrote that nearly a decade ago. Apparently, he sought help to de-radicalize a couple of times before he was released from prison, but no such programs existed. The knife-wielding attacker was attending a program to educate former prisoners when he lashed out. There are a few things we can pull from this story and hopefully learn a lesson. One is that studying the Quran and studying Islam honestly will only lead you back to radicalization. Because when you actually do read it, and it has been interpreted in English, so you can do so if you choose to. When you do read it and you study it, you find that it was written essentially by an insane warlord who sought to conquer the world. And in addition to talking about peace and living peacefully with each other, it talks about destroying those who don't believe like you. Another thing is that two people in a public place, in order to stop a guy who was killing other people with a knife, had to pick up a fire extinguisher and essentially a museum exhibit, a narwhal tusk. And by the way, a narwhal, just look it up if you don't know what it is. It looks like a dolphin with a horn sticking out of the front of its head. It's actually a tusk. They had to pick up two inanimate objects that they could use to defend other people as well as themselves from a man who was killing people and wounding people with a knife. The vest he claimed to have was a fake. He didn't have a vest, a bomb. But he lied to people in defense to keep them at a distance. Two very brave men decided to take a chance. And sadly, nobody had a gun. And that's because in Great Britain, you can't own a gun unless you jump through some major hoops or are part of a special force with the police. You can't have a gun. Even the average cop is not carrying a gun today in Great Britain. Because Great Britain is run by progressives. Progressives who believe that the inanimate object is the problem. And so, they removed the gun from the picture. It's no longer available. What's happened? Knife attacks have skyrocketed. Home invasions, personal attacks, they've also increased. So, with the influx of Muslim, quote, refugees, end quote, and the banning of guns, violence has increased in Great Britain, and people can't defend themselves. And your politicians here in America, that's the solution they want to put into place here. The leftist politicians, the people running for the Democrat nomination right now, all of them want to do here what England has done. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Christmas holidays. Wow. I don't know about you, but this really is my favorite time of the year. It really is. If you work in a business that is focused on serving the public, this time of year is rough for you. And that could be working as a cashier, That could be working in a store, in a retail establishment, in any kind of shopping environment, and in media. Because media is a customer service thing, sort of, so to speak. People in radio, this time of the year, that's wall-to-wall Christmas music, you just kind of lose the Christmas spirit because it just wears you down after a while hearing 175 different versions of Silent Night, like that one by Jim Brickman. That's, you know, it's great stuff. If you're not involved in that, then it's a great time of year. But I'll be honest with you. I spent many, many years sitting in studios just getting sick of it. And I'm glad not to be there now. Oh, my gosh. I think there was something else I wanted to talk with you about, but I just bumped it out. It's gone. It's just gone. A lot of stuff I'm not going to get to talk about today that I wish I had the time for. Greta, God love her, Greta. Her bless, you know who I'm talking about, Greta Thunberg.
How dare you?
Yeah, Greta Thunberg. She's snapped. I think you need to look this up. I'm just going to give you a mention really quickly here, but just go over to dailywire.com and look for Greta Snaps, and you'll see the story I'm talking about. If you let leftists talk long enough, they'll reveal who they really are. And she finally has. She went on a rant about changing everything. The climate crisis is about colonial, racist, and patriarchal systems of oppression, fossil fuels, literally killing us. So what I tell you and what other conservative people are telling you is the truth, and that is that the whole climate change movement is not about the climate. It's about socialism. It's about taking control of economies. That's what it's about. It's about a small group of people who fervently believe that they are intellectually and morally superior to everyone else, and they should run the world, because everybody else is too stupid to. So for their good, this select group of geniuses, this select group of elite people should be making these decisions, and we should let them do it. And in order to do that, they have to control everything. That's what this is about. Read the story. Americans are struggling with climate anxiety because of all of these apocalyptic warming predictions. I posted over the weekend on social media. I want you to go look for it. Go find the Daily Perspective on Facebook and on Twitter, and look for the link to the video of Tucker Carlson talking with Bill Nye, the not real scientist guy. Go look for that. Go look for that today and watch that video, and you'll see a progressive condescendingly trying to explain his position without explaining his position. It's very revealing. What else? Oh man. The latest college racism claim, it's another hoax. That's a story we won't get to today. The lie that destroyed Papa John's pizza, that's one you need to look up. Go over to pjmedia.com and look for that one today. Angela Merkel in Germany. As I said, you let a leftist talk for long enough, then they'll tell you what they really are. She says freedom of expression has its limits and must be regulated to keep society free. In other words, there is no such thing as freedom of speech. Your speech must be patrolled and controlled. And there's other stuff. But first, there's this. Thursday, something you probably didn't see in the news, former President Barack Obama was the main guest at a fundraiser in Silicon Valley. When he was asked a question about the many candidates running, he's told those present he couldn't care less whether they'd like the eventual nominee or not. They just have to vote for him. He says, everybody needs to chill out about the candidates, but gin up about the prospect of rallying behind whoever emerges from this process. That's what he said to the millionaire techies in attendance. CNN actually reported it. He says, there'll be differences between them, but I want us to make sure that we keep in mind that relative to the ultimate goal, which is to defeat a president and a party that has taken a sharp turn away from a lot of the core traditions and values and institutional commitments that built this country, those differences are relatively minor. Wow. I need to come back to that, please. I'm going to come back to that particular thing, all right? He says the field will narrow, and there's going to be one person. And if that is not your perfect candidate, and there are certain aspects of what they say that you don't agree with, and you don't find them completely inspiring the way you'd like, I don't care. Because the choice is so stark, and the stakes are so high, that you cannot afford to be ambivalent in this race. Let's translate. Shut the heck up and vote for whoever the Democratic Party nominates. You don't have to like him or her. You just have to vote for him or her.
Wow.
You got to give it to Obama. He doesn't make a secret of his arrogance and party-first mentality. Who needs principles? Disagreeing with the nominee about climate change and health care? Who cares? The nominee will have a D next to their name, and that's the only thing that really matters. A Twitter user named Jared Rabel said this: imagine having such bad candidates that you're basically having to tell your voters to put on a blindfold and vote Team Blue.
Wow.
That's what they're down to now. They understand that their field of candidates is so undesirable that now they have to just pump up the D. That's what they have to do. All right, let's go back to what I wanted to cover. Obama says there will be differences between them, but I want us to make sure that we keep in mind that relative to the ultimate goal, which is to defeat a president and a party that has taken a sharp turn away from a lot of the core traditions and values and institutional commitments that built this country. Core traditions and values and institutional commitments that built this country. He is doing what every progressive does, and that is, he is linking progressivism to patriotism. What built this country? Progressivism came along later and started chipping away at this country. Progressivism sought to undermine the founding of this country in order to remake it into something else. Because progressivism, leftism, liberalism, doesn't like the way this country was founded on Christian principles and values, acknowledging God, celebrating the freedom to worship and to live out your faith. Progressivism hates those things. Core traditions and values and institutional commitments that built this country. This, coming from a man who said that he was going to fundamentally transform America. Remember that? Remember?
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
As I've told you many times, you don't fundamentally transform something you love. You restore it to its former greatness. You don't transform it into something different. It's up to you and me to restore this nation to its greatness and to hold those that we vote into office accountable for doing it. That's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.